Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cast Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
Just when you think it ain't, it's gonna be.
Good morning. This is the Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program with jazz poet and community organizer Michael Van Tol. This podcast is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group and brought to you by Benjamin Brothers Realty and the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins. My name is Latoya Bond, and I am your guest host today while Michael is away on assignment. But before we go any further, I would love to introduce to you the Sunday morning team we have on the line with us this morning, Kimberly Batchelor Davis. Kimberly is our lifestyle editor, author, speaker, podcaster. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Latoya. Welcome back to the show. It's so great to talk to you. Shout out to Michael this morning. Hope that you are having an amazing day. Shout out to Missionary. We miss you and we love you. I want to say good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team, and good morning, Detroit.
Thank you for that, Kimberly. Today we have a very interesting show ahead of us. We are going to be talking about the subject of suicide in the Black community. I found a beautiful article by a psychiatrist, and she talks about the five reasons that suicide is on the rise in the Black community. So today we're going to talk about that, and we're going to have a wonderful show. Michael invited me to come in today as a fill-in for him. He will be out. I think he's helping someone with a political campaign, so he's not going to be available today. So we're going to go right into talking to Kimberly. Kimberly, what have you been doing this week? What's going on with you?
Well, good morning, Latoya. I have been working very hard on talking about the fallout from the shooting at Michigan State on my podcast. I have just been trying to gear up this year. Our goal for the podcast is really trying people and give opportunities for people to live at their highest selves, to be their best selves. And so we've been talking a lot about mental health and different things to cope and survive and to keep ourselves strengthened to make sure that we can continue to move forward in this crazy time in our world.
Thank you for that, Kimberly. Now, you mentioned you have a podcast. Tell us about your podcast and let our listeners know how they can join you.
So thank you. My podcast is called The Kim B. Davis Show. It is available on YouTube. You can see it live on YouTube at youtube.com/Kimberly Batchelor Davis. You can hear the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, and Wisdom. And it is something that happens once a week. So typically every Tuesday a new episode is dropped and you'll be able to hear it. You can go back and hear all the other episodes. I have a psychologist with just a plethora of experience who comes on and talks to us about mental health. I have a personal fitness trainer, certified fitness trainer and educator who comes on and we talk current events and fitness. And then we have a hodgepodge of different guests. I have a political strategist, so when there are political issues or things like elections and we want to do breakdowns, I have to have a show coming up on genealogy and the importance of it, because so many people are finding out who they come from. And I found it ironic that, and it was just reported last week, that Angela Davis just found out that she comes from a descendant from the Mayflower. And she, of course, was in shock. And many, you know, I think for many African Americans in America, we look at, oh, we know that we came from slaves, and but we don't often think about the ramifications of the brutalities of slavery and how some of us got here, our different shadings, colors, grades of hair, all of that is a byproduct of slavery. And so it is interesting and it is important, and sometimes you learn some horrible truth about who you are, where you come from, and how you were able to get here because of that experience.
Because of that experience, yes. Thank you so much for that, Kimberly. We also have Christy Lassiter on the line, and we're going to bring her on. Good morning. Good morning. How are you today, Christy?
Good morning, Latoya. I am wonderful this morning. Can't complain at all. Good morning to the Sunday morning team.
Good morning, Christy Lassiter Andrews. Christy is an evangelist, a prophetess, and a songstress from the Greater Pentecostal Temple. So welcome.
Thank you.
Well, at this time, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything is gonna be alright.
Hold your head up high. Look up to the sky. Good morning, Detroit. This is Latoya. I am your guest host while Michael is away on assignment today. We have a beautiful show scheduled for today. We are going to be talking about what's driving the rise in suicide rates among the Black community. And I have on the line with me today our Sunday morning team. We have Kimberly Batchelor Davis, and we have Christy Lester Andrews on the line with us this morning. And we're going to go back and talk to Christy and get a little more feedback from her today. Christy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good morning. So what's been going on with you this week?
Well, there's always lots of things happening with me. First of all, let me just say I'm happy that you are our guest host today. It's always a pleasure to be on the line with you. You're always so pleasant and so kind, and so I'm happy to be on the line with you. I always have lots of things going on. I wear many, many hats, aside from what you listed, also a mom and a wife, a mom of four, a wife of almost 15 years, and then I also do many projects on the side, volunteerism at the church and the administrative pastor at the church. So we are planning for the month of March Revival Sunday. So we're going to be inviting different ministers in to the Greater Pentecostal Temple Church just to bring a message of hope, a message of love, and to encourage the people. There has been so many things that have transpired just this year alone, and we're only in the month of February. So we want to bring hope, love, and encouragement to all those that we are connected to.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Christy. You know, we need that in our community today. The topic today, I want to talk to you guys about what's driving the suicide rates among African Americans so we can have an open discussion. If anyone wants to call in and give their feedback, the call-in number is 563-999-3557. Again, the call-in number is 563-999-3557. And I just want to give our listeners a little history about me. I am a suicide preventionist and interventionist. I'm certified in that category. And the way suicide came into my life is on the morning of March 2nd of 2020, my father took his own life in a murder-suicide. He murdered his wife and then moments later murdered himself. So because of his death and because of the tragedy, I have become a huge advocate for suicide prevention. And I'm just here today. I don't have a degree in mental health or anything like that, but I am a woman with a lived experience of losing someone to suicide. So I've really dedicated my life to educating myself as to why this would happen and how this could happen and the science behind it. So today, as I'm speaking to you, I'm just talking to you from my own experience and from information that I have learned. Some of the subject matter may be a little triggering for you. So if you need to take a few moments to step away, please do so to take care of yourself. But today I want to get into this article that I have by African-American psychiatrist, and she talks about the five reasons that suicide is on the rise in the Black community. And I just want you all to know that this is a very sensitive subject matter, so please, if you need to step away, please do so. So I want to tell you what the factors are that are contributing to suicide in the African-American community. And I think this is important too, because we're still in Black History Month. So do you guys know, does anyone have an idea of what the number one reason that suicide rates are going up right now? Can anybody chime in and just give me a guess? What do you think it is?
Depression, mental
Christy,
health
Kimberly?
Issues. Depression,
yes, I was thinking
mental
the same
issues.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Christy. I'm sorry.
I was thinking the same thing as you, Kimberly. We were saying the same word, depression. I think is somewhere at the top of that list.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Christy. But the actual number one reason, according to this article, is social media. Social media ramps up pressure to fit in. Social media is undeniably pervasive and has made society incredibly vulnerable. Young people today, they're given so much access to the views in their lives online, and this can make people feel pressured to conform to an idea, and pressure associated with social media is one potential cause of the increased suicide rates amongst the Black community. Does anyone have any feedback about that?
Makes sense. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say social media has become the new public square. And so where young people before would have had to face issues and problems and harassment from their peers on the playground or in the lunchroom, we've just come through COVID. They've been at home for 2 years, and you think that everyone is safe, but we've heard of an uptick in youth being approached online, you know, kidnapping, human trafficking, all of that which stems from social media, because all of a sudden, even though we think of the world as this vast and global place, social media has made it very accessible and very small, and you have connections to people that you may never have been connected to before, and the same rules apply where this is someone that you may never have physically met in person, but because you all talk every day online, this is somebody who all of a sudden, because they didn't like your picture or they did like your picture or they said you were fat or that color doesn't look good on you or why is your hair like that or whatever it is, or you post an achievement and somebody does a racial thing. Well, who do you think you are? Why are you? Because everybody gets that. Whatever the reason is, all of a sudden, now that puts that pressure on you, just like it would if that person was just right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I totally agree with that. Christy, do you have any feedback?
Yes, I would agree totally with Kimberly. You know, with in terms of bullying and things like that, you know, before social media, it was limited. But in addition to that, you know, sometimes when people watch social media, they could potentially feel like they can't live up to a certain standard of life, or they would never achieve a certain place in life. And they're watching these videos of individuals, and some have success, and some put on a show for social media as if they're living a successful life, and it's not their reality. And so people often compare themselves to what they see on social media, and they want to be in a particular place, but not having the tools or thinking that they don't have the tools, and that comparison could often lead to depression or suicidal thoughts.
Yes, Christy, you're so correct. That's definitely true. I see that we have our political analyst, our home care advocate, Henrietta Ivy. She's a part of the Sunday morning team. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to the Sunday morning team. Thank you, LaToya. You're doing an amazing, amazing job as always. I want to say good morning to everyone listening online and good morning to all the people in the city of Detroit.
Thank you, Henrietta, my beautiful radio soul sister.
Thank you,
thank
baby.
You for that.
Good to have you on the team this morning.
So this morning, Henrietta, we are talking about five reasons why the rate of suicide in the Black community is on the rise. We're talking about that this morning, and we just mentioned that the number one reason that the pressure has ramped up has been because of social media. We have seen an increase in suicide numbers in Black people, particularly in youth, over the last decade. And although there's no causal factor for this, it is important to remember that we live in an age where most people are connected to social media, which comes with the pressure to create an image like we're living perfect lives. And this is especially true for our young youth. How do you feel about that, Henrietta?
You know, I've been listening and to the broadcast, and I agree with everything that Kim and Christy have stated. Those factors are right there. That's it. Mm-hmm. When you talk about people trying to, as they mentioned, trying to compare their lives when they see other people's lives on social media, and they can't compare. That's also true. It's just everything that used to be in the dark is now in the light, as I kind of sum it up. Kind of like you said, when you had a disagreement with someone, it would be like a little playground fight. It would be like life at the school. People heard about it at school. Maybe a couple of people in the neighborhood. After a while, it's forgotten about. Now, it's totally different. You have the bullying online. That means millions of people get to see someone else bully you. That means everybody's friends, family, neighborhood. It's everywhere. So that heightens the depression levels of children in the Black community, even some adults in the Black community, mm-hmm. because now all your business is for the world to see. When it used to be a time mm-hmm. that a few people knew, you got past it, and all was well, but not anymore. So everything that the team stated is what I agree with. It's just absolutely crazy. And I want to say another thing, too. I was going to ask you a question about suicide, because I think a lot of suicide rate in the community could be related to it is related to everything everybody said, but the pressures of work can lead to suicide. And I know that particularly as a care advocate, dealing with caregivers, there's a lot of depression in this workforce. And I love the fact that mental illness is now getting the light that it needs, the platform that it needs, thanks to you, because work-related issues can cause suicide in Black communities as well. The lack of having the work and the lack of trying to keep that work and the lack of doing that job can be very instrumental to in the suicide rate. Because I deal with the caregivers and I hear their stories, and it's amazing how mental illness connects to so many different issues and tunnels. And I thank you again for giving us such an amazing platform. Like, you have a platform out here that's like bringing people to the table. So keep up the work and keep bringing that awareness because it's needed. It's needed. And I know you're going to tap into the shooting at Michigan State, but I just wanted to say those few pieces.
Well, thank you so much, Henrietta. And on the topic of mental health, that is the number two reason that the suicide rates have increased in the Black community. So the first one was social media. Now number two is mental health. So the stigma, there's a stigma behind mental health. So when people have, if they're suffering from depression or bipolar disorder, there's always that shame or that negative vibe that you get from someone who may perceive you as broken. So the stigma behind mental health is the second reason that the rates are climbing in the Black community. So we're going to go into another commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to have Kimberly Batchelor Davis bring us the church close weather forecast. And then we're going to go back into our discussion about suicide prevention. So stay with us, and we will be back right after these messages.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything is gonna be alright.
Hold your head up high, look up to the sky. Good morning, Detroit. This is LaToya Bond. I am your guest host today on the Michael Van Tool Show while Michael is away on assignment. And we are talking about the subject of the rising rates in the suicide in the Black community. But before we go back into our discussion, we're going to have Kimberly Batchelor Davis bring us our church close weather forecast.
Good morning, Detroit. So this morning, it is currently 34. The sun is peeking out. Today will be a great day. It will be mostly sunny with a high of 47 and a low of 31. Tomorrow, things start to take a downturn. So tomorrow, expect a wintry mix to rain and snow showers with a high of 46 and a low of 35. On Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high of 49 and a low of 31. On Wednesday, March 1st, March is here, we'll have a chance of showers with a high of 53 degrees with a low of 34.
Now that's the weather I'm talking about.
Exactly. Okay, so just remember Wednesday. Thursday, March 2nd. Rain and snow showers with a high of 44 and a low of 28. On Friday, snow showers with a high of 38 and a low of 24. And on Saturday, more rain and snow showers with a high of 37 and a low of 22. And that's the weather.
And that's the church close weather forecast. I don't even know. Do you guys still call it the church close weather forecast, or am I taking us back to the history?
That's okay. It's always good when we can go back and have a moment to reflect.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So today's subject matter, we are talking about five reasons why the suicide rates are on the rise in the Black community. If there's anyone listening that wants to call in, the call-in number is 563-999-3557. Again, that's 563-999-3557. And so we just got finished talking about the number one reason is social media. The influence on suicide in the Black community is social media was number one. The mental health stigma that impedes black people from seeking help is the number two reason. And now we're going to go down to the number three reason that these suicide rates are on the rise in the black community. And the third reason is that the treatment is often less accessible to black people. Untreated mental illness is another cause for increased suicide rates amongst black people. In addition to the stigma, there are many reasons why black people don't get the help they need for mental health issues, including the lack of access or care. So let's go to Henrietta Ivy. Henrietta, why do you think that there is a lack of accessibility to black people when it comes to mental health?
I believe that that happens due to a lot of it could be taboo. During those periods where black families are having issues with family members who they see they may be experiencing some type of mental disturbance, they don't like to talk about it. Accesses to it is because I think historically they think that black people are, it's been known that black people just can take anything. Like we don't. All these things that we go through is who we are. It's sometimes classified as that's part of our culture to be in those states. Like, we're strong. So, they don't condemn us as a person of strength, of weakness. So those, when mental illness come in, it's like they're strong enough to handle that. Like, we're always deemed to be so strong and being able to handle so much. And to think about having those types of services in our neighborhoods is like, they don't need that. They can handle these things. That's who they are. It's what I, think historically is that we've been deemed to just be able to handle everything. And then the taboo of talking about it and not talking about it is strong in the black community. Like we don't believe in it. It's like we don't believe in that. Like mental illness, we don't need therapy. We don't need someone telling us how to live our lives. We don't need someone telling us that we're sick. It's just something I think that, clinched together with history and the fact that it is a taboo thing in our community, it works hand in hand. And so it's we don't get a lot of those services, I feel, because of, those two things.
Yes, you are so correct, Henrietta. And according to the Census Bureau data, it shows that black people were seven times more likely to live in neighborhoods with high rates of poverty and little to no access to mental health care compared to white people, despite having the same mental illnesses. So we definitely have to get help. We have to get these numbers right, and we really need to bring more awareness. And that's my role and my mission is to let my people know that it's okay to suffer from depression. It's okay to wake up in the morning and not feel like yourself. I can honestly sit before you today and say I've had moments in my life when I didn't want to live anymore. And you know who helped me? My dad. My dad was the one who turned my depression around and told me, daughter, you are beautiful. You have a lot to live for. So that's why I'm here today. And I'm really enjoying our conversation that we're engaged in because this conversation is needed. Yeah, we can talk about politics. Yes, we can talk about, the weather and what's going on in the world. But we have some serious subject matters that we need to cover, and we're doing just that today. And I thank you all for being here to support me on this today.
And can
absolutely.
I add, Latoya, because you are absolutely correct. This is a personal. So when I was going through my battle with postpartum depression, because of income levels, we weren't eligible for the programming that people who are considered poverty should get, but we didn't have health insurance that covered it. So I remember reaching out to contacts like, okay, well, what do I do? And everybody's like, well, Kim, we'll try and see, but there's really no program. You're going to have to figure out how to pay for it. I didn't have it in the budget to pay for it because I had two small children under the age of five, and I was struggling.
Wow.
And so I sort of sucked it up and tried to figure it out until my husband at that time was able to find another job and got insurance that could help. But a lot of people, that's an issue too. You can be working, but not necessarily have, as Henrietta said, access to, and we have all these programs that people will tell you, oh, but we have that. But people can't get to it because, not just because of location, sometimes it's because of income level too.
Mm-hmm, definitely. That there's a lack of representation amongst the mental health professional, which makes it difficult for Black people to find mental health care. Mm-hmm. And we have to fix that. We do.
And that's the point that I was going to make, Toya, about representation, because I work for a company and we have access to mental health benefits. We have like a 24-hour hotline that you can call. But when you call that number, right, and you connect with someone and you find a therapist and you go, the cultural differences and
yes.
just even being able to understand the life, the experiences of an African-American, a Black person, or whichever term you prefer, it's a huge disconnect. And I consider myself a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I do not pray to Mary. So about 14 years ago or so, I did seek out therapy. This was maybe 13 after having one of my children. And the therapist was trying to sell me on Catholicism. And so finding that right match is difficult. I do see the numbers in African-American counselors increasing, which is amazing, but I'm glad that we got to pull up that point, having enough certified therapists that can relate to what we're experiencing is important as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that,
Chrissy. Let me just a minute too, Chrissy. Toya, Chrissy, you said something very important. It's the communication piece where if we have therapists that are fitting into our needs. Like I know my grandson, one of my grandsons was needing some psychotherapy, and we could not find a Black psychotherapist anywhere within the city limits, mm-hmm. anywhere. They're all outside of the city limits. And my daughter particularly wanted a Black psychotherapist because it's just like you said, Chrissy, we need someone who understands us. Because when you're going to, and getting mental health is getting it, but you have to make sure that it fits, because it's useless to go somewhere and no one understands or have any inklings on how to treat an African-American child or an African-American mm-hmm. woman or man, because they don't understand our plight. I mean, they go by that mm-hmm. standard. But when you're sitting here in front of a Black therapist, you're looking at a person who understands your culture, and that's important. And that's probably another reason why, like Chrissy and Kim said, is a lack of that, you know, that cultural inclusiveness in these therapies. So it goes unwanted. It just goes untreated because they, you know, most of us don't want to go sit somewhere where someone's going to try to analyze us as opposed to, you know, analyzing the issue and trying to find the help that properly fits that need that we're looking for. And that fear of being judged by someone who don't look like you. You know, because we already know in the back of our mind, they're going to judge me. They're going to think I'm this. I mean, it's more build up when you go on before someone who's not in your culture. And I noticed that most people, other cultures, what I do recognize is when they seek certain help, they seek it within their culture because they know that someone in their culture is probably going to understand them better than someone who's outside of that culture. So, you know, for my family, it was hard trying to find that. And we do need more certified Black psychotherapists and psychologists and people working in this field of work, because it's on the rise in our community, so we need more certified people, and they're coming to the forefront as well. But I just wanted to say that, you know, it is very hard finding someone within the culture who does this type of work.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, because there's an identity factor. Like, you identify better a lot of times when you're dealing with your own demographics. I know when I used to work in education, when we would interview teachers to work at our school, we were a predominantly African-American school. Most of our students, 80 to 90% of them, their families were on public assistance. So we would need teachers who were sensitive to the needs of children in the inner city. So a lot of times what we would do is when we would find a teacher, we'd interview them, but we would give them like a sensitivity test to see if they would be a good fit for the demographics in our school. So that same method should apply when it comes to doctors, psychiatrists, and things of that nature. So thank you for that, Henrietta. That's a very good point. Right now, we're going to go into another commercial break. We have to pay the bills. So please don't leave us. We're going to be right back. We're going to continue our amazing discussion about 5 reasons suicide is on the rise in the Black community. We will be back after these messages, so please do not go away.
It's a member of the Real Team.
We find them and fix them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
Listen, we find them and fix them and flip them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got him drippin' with style, got him like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you wanna do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth.
Yeah.
It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, essential for financial
health.
You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's bbrosrealty@gmail.com.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything is gonna be alright.
Hold your head up high. I love that song. My name is LaToya Bond, and I am your guest host today. While Michael is away on assignment, we have a very interesting subject matter today. We're talking about 5 reasons that suicide is on the rise in the Black community. And I noticed that we have another Sunday morning team member joining our session here today. And we're going to go to Stephen, Kathy, are you there?
God bless you. God bless you, Sister LaToya. God bless
He's
you.
He's a chaplain and a musician. Is it Stephen or Stephen?
Stephen.
Kathy. Hi, Chaplain. How are you today?
I'm all right. God bless you guys this morning. Shout out to Michael Van Tool. I'm hearing now that he's away. Shout out to the amazing Sunday morning team. Shout out to you. You're doing a tremendous job. Amen for that. And shout out to Detroit today. Sorry I got in late, but I guess late is better than never.
Amen.
Hey, well, hello there.
I'm
going to set in. I think the sister says she's not available to do the weather today.
Oh, I did it, Bishop. You missed it. Chaplain Kathy, you missed it.
Well, you got some help in here. How about that?
All right, I appreciate it. Listen, Wednesday is going to be your day. Wednesday is going to be your day. 53 degrees.
Oh, you got plenty of help in here for that 53. I'm going to sit back here and listen in, and then I'm going to chime in. But I appreciate you doing a wonderful job this morning.
Okay, thank you, Chaplain. So we're going to go back into our subject matter today, and we've already addressed the first 3 reasons that the suicide rates are increasing in the Black community. Number one was social media. Number two was the mental health stigma. Number three is treatment. It's often less accessible to Black people. And so now we're going to go into the fourth reason. The fourth reason that the suicide rates are on the rise in the Black community is because Black people continually face racism and discrimination. With the murder of George Floyd in 2020, it sparked a nationwide protest against racism in the United States, which Black people have faced for centuries. For many Black Americans, George Floyd's murder was the tipping point for increased rates in anxiety, depression, and all the things that are related to racism. George Floyd's death added to the extreme anxiety that many Black people face already experiencing, along with the everyday effects of living with discrimination and racism, especially for African-American men driving in a vehicle, being pulled over by a police, There's a level of fear and anxiety associated with traffic stops and racism that pervades public policies, housing, education, the justice system. It's everywhere. So what can we do about this, team, Sunday morning team? What can we do about this? Who wants to go first? Henrietta?
You know what? I think that what we need to be, like doing what you're doing now, bringing the awareness to the issue, I feel that we need to have more legislative written around it, stronger legislation written around it. We need to have more platforms. It just needs to continue on the road that it's on and making sure that our youth and that people are safe and that, you know, people are being evaluated properly. Funding has been put into our police departments to you know, weed out and help those who may be experiencing some type of, you know, mental discourse when they are doing their work. I think what we're doing now is one of the things that we need to continue, and it needs to continue for a while until we get a handle on this issue. And that's mm-hmm. and I think that, you know, that's those are the things we need to continue to do. It's just keep the awareness going and keep having conversations around, you know, this issue.
Yes, keep the topic relevant. I totally agree with you. Christy, do you have any feedback about that?
I do totally agree with Henrietta. You know, LaToya, the work that you're doing and the work that others are doing. But I think we need more people involved in having this discussion. As Henrietta said, more legislation around this particular topic. But let's get everybody that can and will involved in this conversation, and don't stop having the conversation until we see change. Don't stop, you know, pushing forward until we see change. Sometimes something will happen and there's a big buzz about it for a particular period of time, and then it dies down, and then here comes another thing, and it's like, oh, mental health, oh, racism, oh, this, that. So we need to, like Henrietta said, continue to have these conversations. Our faith-based leaders, our church leaders, need to continue to have these conversations within their congregations. We need to continue to talk about what to do, even when you're pulled over. For our Black young men, NAACP have done a really great job of explaining and talking to young men about what to do. And unfortunately, knowing what to do and doing that hasn't always been the answer. You know, that's why we need to continue to push forward. Organizations need to rise up. You know, there may be an opportunity for new organizations that are going to do the right thing with raising funds. I'll just leave that at that. I won't go any further with that. But just the continuation of it is so, so, so important, because I am raising two amazing young men. I have a 10-year-old son and a 21-year-old son. And when they go out into the community, I am concerned. So I'm having conversations with them. But how many moms, aunties, grandmothers are truly sitting down and having these conversations and talking with neighbors and bringing a community together to push our agenda forward, because we know that we're all on the same page, and one day we have to get everyone else on the same page that we're on.
Well, thank you for that, Christy, and I totally agree with you. We're all on one accord here. Kimberly, do you have any feedback about the fact that Black people continually face racism and discrimination, and it's causing a rise of suicide rates in the Black community?
Pick up a point that Christy was mentioning, and that was, we have to talk at home. It has to start at home. When I was growing up, I was told about our family history. I was told to always be proud. I was told that wherever I found myself, I belonged there, that there were always going to be people that would try to take away from who I was, that would try to tell me I didn't belong, and that this is what our people overcame. And yes, our ancestors were slaves, but before that, there's a whole history that we don't know about. I think it starts at home. We have to instill pride in ourselves, and we have to love ourselves, and home has to be the safe place. We have to prepare our children for what they face in the world. And as Chrissy said, she has her four amazing children, and when her children step out the door, you are worried. I have two amazing young men that I'm raising, and it's the same fear. I have a 14-year-old who's 6 feet tall, and when people look at him, they think he is much older than what he is, and I'm hawkish over my children so much to the point that people have said, oh, you're so protective over them. Yes, because I'm afraid of other people, not just based on skin color. I don't know what anybody's priorities are. And so I know my priorities are for protecting my children. And so I don't want my children caught up in things. I don't want to get a phone call that they were driving with someone and someone was pulled over by a police car, and they happen to meet the wrong police officer. Those are things that we have to prepare our children for, because those are realities of the world. In turn, we have to get back to being a community. When we were growing up, if I did something down the street, the neighbor saw me, the neighbor would say, my family calls me Nicole. They would be like, Nicole, you know you weren't supposed to do that. I was like, oh, crap, I'm in trouble. I didn't have to run home because the phone would ring and my parents would meet me on the porch. I already knew I was in trouble. I would get in trouble with the neighbor doing something that you didn't have any business doing, and then get in trouble with your parents because not only did you do whatever you were supposed to, that is your family name. That's what I grew up with. And we got to get back to that. And, you know, community, as Henrietta and Chaplain Kathy are precinct delegates, they work in a community. Community support, protect, look out for each other. They are also the voice that forces legislation to happen. You need all these things together to work in order to solve some of these problems.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much for that. Steph and Kathy, do you have any feedback about Black people continuing to face racism and discrimination causing the suicide rates to rise?
Yes, I concur with the team. One thing that I would love to add, I think that what needs to be put in place is cultural training. I think that most of the issues that arise that leads to racial profiling and racial issues and suicide is the lack of another race understanding how that particular race was raised. How that culture, I think it's a big cultural concern, and the lack thereof is what causes one to treat another race a particular way. So I think that that cultural issues should be addressed more so than anything.
Well, thank you so much for that, Steph and Kathy. We have addressed four of the reasons why the suicide rates are on the rise in the Black community. We got to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the fifth and final reason, according to this article, as to why the suicide rates are rising in the Black community, and we're going to then open up our show for just a general conversation where we can discuss an open forum, anything that we choose. So we will be back with you after these short messages, so don't go away.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client, and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service.
And now a message from jazz poet Michael Van Tool.
Hi, my name is Michael Van Tool. Let's talk for a minute. I believe in Detroit. I spent 32 years as your neighborhood banker. But now I form Michigan Ocean Strategy Group to bring three affordable business services directly to you. Number one, radio advertising and production services. Number 2, customized business services and workshops. And number 3, political and public relations. So call me and share your vision. My office number is 248-516-8300. But look, I can't do any of this business stuff without shining a light on our community. It's who I am. It's a part of me. There are people who desperately need our help. And there are people who work hard every day. And there are volunteers who provide resources and opportunities to those in need. You see, I believe in our community. I believe in you. And we can believe in each other. We are one. One community, one neighborhood, one city. Let's live and work together. My name is Michael Van Tool. We are all one Detroit.
If you would like to share your vision for Detroit with Michael Van Tool, call 248-516-8300.
No matter what we do, we are one.
And that's the way it is. I love that song, Michael. Oh, my gosh. My name is LaToya Bond, and I am the guest host today for the Michael Van Tool Show because Michael is away on assignment, and today we have a subject matter that's very serious. We're talking about the 5 reasons that suicide is on the rise in the Black community, and this information that I'm bringing forth today is based on an article by an African-American doctor. Her name is Maya Nigel Hoskin, and she wrote this article about her experience with the suicide rates that she has witnessed as a mental health doctor. So we've already talked about, we've covered the first 4 reasons. Number 1 was social media. Number 2 was mental health stigma. Number 3 was the treatment is less accessible to Black people. The number four reason was that Black people continue to face racism and discrimination. And so now we're going to go right into the 5th reason, according to the article. So the number 5 reason that the African-American people are committing suicide at higher rates, the number 5 reason, it says that many Black people are frequently exposed to violence. So violence is the 5th reason. Although not all Black people live in impoverished or physically dangerous environments caused by social issues such as racism, the research suggests that Black people experience disproportionately high rates of exposure to violence compared to white people. Like racism, continued exposure to violence may factor into the increased suicide rates amongst Black people. So who wants to chime in on that from my Sunday morning team here?
I was going to ask you, LaToya, related to that. What about not just the violence, and I know this is based on research that has been done outside of the group here, but what about the not just physical violence, but emotional abuse, verbal abuse?
Yes.
Can we include that in there? I know it's not our research, but, you know, just for the sake of conversation, because, you know, sometimes people are exposed to the violence, but then there's a whole group of individuals that are exposed to the verbal abuse and the emotional abuse, and some people reach their breaking point where they feel like they can't live on under these conditions, and they don't know any other way to get out.
Yes, definitely. That's definitely a factor, mm-hmm. Christy. Mm-hmm. In all my education and training, I have definitely learned that to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line in this whole article here, here's the bottom line. The increasing number of suicides amongst Black people is a multifactorial, and additional research is needed to pinpoint exactly what's driving these rates. So this research that has been done, it does indicate the harmful effects connected to social media, exposure to racism, the mental health stigma, and exposure to violence and accumulative trauma. They have all played a role in suicide. But what I want to say to people who are listening right now, if you're listening to the words coming out of my mouth, the voices of my Sunday morning team, if you're listening right now and life has gotten the best of you, you feel down and out. You're hurting. You're in pain. You just don't see any other way out. You don't necessarily want to die. you just want your pain to end, because most people who commit suicide, they don't want to die. They just want the misery to stop. My suggestion to you today is seek help. Talk to someone. Find someone that you love and you trust. Or dial 988. Just like you would dial 911 in a medical or a violent emergency, dial 988. There are trained professionals there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're there to help you. They want to intervene because your life matters. Your existence on earth has a divine purpose, and I know you can't see it right now because the depression is telling you to take your own life. The depression is telling you the world is better off without you. But just know that that voice is not real. So seek help, dial 988. You can reach out to any one of us here on the Sunday morning team, and we will be here to help you because we need you, and we need these suicide numbers to decrease, not increase. Does anyone else from my team have something they want to share on that topic?
You know what?
Thank you so much, Victoria. Go ahead, Kim. I just want to chime in and say thank you so much for hovering over this issue, because it is definitely an issue that has gotten far out of hand, and we need to have continuing conversations like we mentioned earlier. And I just want to say thank you, Victoria, for doing this amazing work. You are phenomenal. You are an expert, and we are all appreciate you for even just sticking to it. Like you said, just sticking to it and keeping that awareness out there. So thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you, Henrietta. And, you know, I just want to say it's an honor to be a voice. I never thought that my dad would pass away in such a tragic way. And I do this work because I want my father to be remembered for the way he lived and not the way he died. You know, my situation is a little more complex than just losing someone to suicide. I lost my dad in a murder-suicide. He took the life of someone who loved him, and she did not deserve to die that way. So my pain and my complexity is just, it's a little more intense than the average person who suffers the loss from suicide. So for me to stand before you all and stand before the world to talk so highly of a man who committed the most heinous act known to man, it's not easy. It's not easy. And I know that people can judge the situation, but all of this stems from a lack of resources, a mental health crisis, being afraid to speak out. So I thank you all for giving me the chance to be a voice for the voiceless, because even though my dad loved public speaking and he was a star in the public eye, his voice wasn't heard because of the stigma that we talked about earlier, because of the shame, because of the lack of resources. He wasn't able to get the appropriate help that he needed, and this is the end result. So if I could save one life, if I could prevent one person from taking a gun and ending their own life, then my work is not in vain. So I thank you all for supporting me in this.
Thank you, Victoria, for standing up. That takes courage.
Yes, and that's something to be said. That takes a lot of courage, especially with the circumstances that arise from that particular suicide. That's a lot of courage, and I commend you. And I'm hoping that those that are listening, it would enable them to become a voice. And it also would enable those who are not being heard to start being heard, and folk will listen. Because sometimes it's almost like the suicide thing is it's like the boogeyman. It just show up, and then you're like, oh man, this really just happened. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh wow. You know, so it's a silent, in a sense, it's a silent assassin, and it really needs to, folk really need to be comfortable. They need to be put in a position in which they are comfortable enough to express the thing that causes them to even feel or think that they actually want to die. And it's a horrible thing. I tell folk oftentimes that suicide is not necessarily the act of killing yourself, but it's the thought of you wanting to die. That makes you suicidal. if you just think, I no matter what I'm going through in life, I just want to just end it. And knowing that ending your life does not make your life, it'll get rid of you, but it don't make life better because, like yourself, you have to think about the effects of that suicide for almost the rest of your life. So it's important that we open a huge communication when it comes to those who have that thought to say, you know what, today I'm gonna do this right now, you know. So, but I do commend you, Sister Latoya. I really do.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. You know, suicide is very common, and people don't talk about it, but 90% of the people who die by suicide have a diagnosable mental illness at the time of their death, whether it's diagnosed by a doctor or it's undiagnosed. Mental illness is one of the main reasons for suicide. And I also want our audience to know that you are 10 times more likely to come in contact with someone who's having thoughts of suicide than you are of encountering someone who's having a heart attack. So if you're in a room with 20 people, two of those people are contemplating suicide. So do that this weekend. The next time you go out, whether you're in a grocery store, you're in church, whether you're going to a concert, I want you to just take a moment and be present with the moment and look around you. And if you see 20 people in that room, two of those people are contemplating suicide. Those are facts. Those are research facts. So suicide is a very serious subject matter. So we're going to conclude our talk today. I have enjoyed our discussion. And so now I'm going to open up the floor for the Sunday morning team to bring forth any topic they'd like to talk about. We've got about 27 more minutes left in this broadcast. So who wants to take it away with opening up the floor for general talk?
I'd like to share a good news story, if I could, really quick. Is that okay, Latoya?
Yes, Kimberly, go ahead.
All right, thank you. Yale University honors the work of a 9-year-old girl who is stomping out extremely invasive bugs in New Jersey. It's Black History, and I want to celebrate this young lady. Her name is Bobby Wilson. When 9-year-old Bobby Wilson heard about the Hoboken campaign to eradicate the spotted lanternfly, she took the message to heart, whipped up some homemade non-toxic spotted lanternfly poison out of vinegar, and headed out to do her part. Yale decided to highlight this citizen scientist as she donated her collection of 27 lanternflies to the Peabody Museum of Natural History Database and received the title Donor Scientist. We wanted to show how inspiring she is, and we just want to make sure she continues to feel honored and loved by the Yale community, Ms. O'Para, an assistant professor at the school, said in a statement. The invasive spotted lanternfly can cause huge damage to ecosystems, and currently New Jersey is suffering from a bit of an infestation. It's an unfortunate thing as the lanternfly is quite beautiful, but its piercing, sucking talons can damage over 70 species of native and ornamental plants, but have a preference for high-value AG commodities like grapes and stone fruit. Native to China, they are typically kept in check by a parasitic wasp and were accidentally introduced to the United States in 2014. Feeding on plant sap, their bodies create a sugar excretion called honeydew, which collects on or around trees and cultivates sooty mold, which can lead to tree death.
Wow, that is really something.
Yes. And so she's 9 years old, and she was joining in New Jersey's Stomp It Out campaign, which helped clear out the winged devils from the state. The campaign recommends three things: killing any individual seen on one's property, scraping off the egg masses, which are grayish slimes that contain about between 30 and 50 eggs that they lay in wintertime, and cutting down about 90% of all of the Altissima trees, also known as the Tree of Heaven, which belies its presence as an invasive pest species. New Jersey believes that if 90% of all the trees are cleared, the remaining 10% can be used as trap trees. The tree of heaven is a critical symbiotic species for the lanternflies, and they'll inevitably be drawn there. And if the tree were, say, poisoned, exterminated, they would disappear. They are currently found in Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, and Massachusetts, as well as New Jersey.
Wow, that is awesome. 9 years old, wow.
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much.
You know what, can I hear that story? Actually, I read that story just a couple of, like, early part in the week, and it came across CNN, and I was like, wow. And it came across mm-hmm. my news feed. So congratulations to our little scientists. Great job.
Yes.
Mhm. And speaking of little people, Henrietta, you have the most beautiful grandchildren. I follow you on social media, and your grandbabies are just so heartwarming. Oh, my God. You have twins now,
thank
right?
You. You know, they're here with me. Dad. I had them all sitting. I'm in the mother room at home because they, you know, we all got up, and they, you know, it's grandma time when they get up and they want to eat and cook. So it's been amazing. I had 11 of them here. I have 13 altogether, so I had 11 of them here with me. Then one went home with dad, came and got with his dad weekend. And I had 10 more here with me now, and it has been an amazing Thursday to today. I am looking forward to my freedom.
Yes.
But it has been amazing. They are the apple of my eye. I tell anybody all the work that I'm doing, all the platforms and legacies, everything that I'm trying to get done in this life that I have left is for them. Of course, you know, when we work hard, we want to enjoy our fruits of our labors, but, you know, I really want to make sure that when you see them, understand that all that I'm doing, the hard work that I put in, is because of those little brown babies right there. They are my pride and joy. I love them so much. The twins are amazing. They're so funny. I want to share a video with everybody, and I'm going to share it on social media where the girl twin B, we call her, which is Christian, and I think she's going to be a little politician. And I say that because she is the hype one, and she organized her cousins all yesterday, and she kept coming in the middle of the floor. She's standing there, and she's saying something in baby language, and everybody repeated it back, and she realized, huh? Okay, and we could see the look in her face like, oh, really? So she kept getting hyper and hyper and hyper, like saying something in her baby language. And I was like, okay, we got a protest going here because everybody was yelling and throwing up their hands, and she was throwing up her hands. I'm like, yeah, we got a little protester right here. So it is amazing watching little people grow from birth to their twos, and then they get, you know, it's just an amazing development to watch. I am very blessed and fortunate to be able to be a grandmother in position to be able to enjoy my grandchildren. Like, I work hard, but I get a day in or at least out of the month where I can enjoy my family because that's important to me. It keeps me grounded. So thank you, Latoya, for that amazing compliment. They are amazing. They are some amazing little cutie woolies, I like to call them, my little cutie woolies.
Aw, well, they are all so beautiful, and they have a beautiful grandmother. So they're, you know, grandmas
thank
are
you.
The best. I remember my grandmother. She was more like a mom than a grandmother. So grandmothers
mm-hmm.
have a very special place in the world, and you just keep walking in your gift, Henrietta. That's beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
So, Christy, Stefan, does anyone have any closing remarks they'd like to make before we conclude our broadcast today?
Sure. Sure. I have a question, and this is just my little thoughts for today, and you guys don't answer when I ask the question. But the question is, how old are you? So I was reminded of the story. And Henrietta, this is not related to you being a grandmother.
I like to come in, though. I was like, that's pretty cool.
But I was reminded of the story of Abraham and Sarah. You know, Sarah was like 90 years old. Abraham was like mm-hmm. 100 years old, but God had made a promise to them, and it didn't matter what stage they were in their life, God made a promise, mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to ask you, how old are you? We were talking about suicide and the top five reasons in American community. And many times people have lost hope. They had an expectation for their lives. They had an expectation for their children, for the people around them. And they lose hope. But Abraham and Sarah, they had received a promise from the Lord. And it may have come at an unlikely time for them. Sarah thought it was funny. What? As old as I am, you're going to make a promise to me and it come to pass? Yes, and it did, in fact, come to pass. And that promise name was Isaac. So it doesn't matter what stage you are in your life. You could be a grandmother, which I am not ready to be. You could be a mother. You could be in a position where you don't have any children at all. And maybe your baby is your business. Maybe your baby is your campaign. Your promise is your campaign. Your promise is your ministry. Your promise is whatever it is that has been whispered into your ear that has given you hope to move on. So hold on to whatever promise, because when God gives you a promise, it's going to come to pass, no matter where you are in life. So those are my little thoughts for this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Wow,
Amen.
That's
I hope God
is accountable
to all of that. You know, I tell people all the time, when God makes a promise, that's a sure promise that won't be broken. That He don't make promises, that, you know, God don't make promises He can't keep. Because every one of them you make, He's going to keep it. And if you ask for something, you will get it. But understand, Tiffany, understand that there's a responsibility there on our behalf. Like, I asked for 100 years, and I know God is going to give it to me. I asked for 100 good years because I want to enjoy every one of my children's accomplishments and grandchildren's and therefore and after, because I feel like this world was given to us to enjoy. So for me, 100 good years, that's all I want. I want all my teeth. I want to be able to stand. I want to be able to move around. After 100, he can do whatever he wants. He can take me on the glory after, but I want my good 100 years. And so far, he's giving me these good years. So I know that promise going to stay intact. So, hey.
And let me just take a minute to say, Henrietta, you do not look like a grandmother at all. You may have 13 grandkids, but you don't even look like you're old enough to have a 13-year-old, let alone 13 grandkids.
I want my first baby at two.
That's her story. She's sticking to it.
That's her story.
I'm sticking to it. But thank you. You know, it's all in the prayer. It's all in the blessing. It's all in doing God's work, and it's all in the obedience. I've been obedient all my life. I have had things happen where I have, you know, slid back. But I had the foundation and understanding and knowing that God exists, and that's what's been keeping me. It's just a God-given thing. I'm not doing nothing special. I just drink a lot of water, eat a lot of fruit, vegetables, but it's all God. It really is.
Yes, it is.
It really is. Because they wore me out. They wore me out. Let me be clear. They wore me out.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you, Henrietta. Stephen, do you have any closing remarks before we close our episode today?
I would just like to say that, once again, Lord, if He could just have you on more often, you are very sufficient. You are very wise in what you know, and you're very. It's a benefit to everyone to listen to the things it is that you're actually saying and apply the things that you put out that can be applied to our lives and helping us understand the suicide and its effect on our lives, on our mental. So I want to just commend you and tell you you're doing yet again a tremendous job. I love the team. I have missed the team for a couple weeks, but I thank God that I'm able to get back in the race with the team and be back online. I know Mike said that he's listening in, and I know that he's proud. He's proud of us. So that's what I want to say. And to Detroit, keep on keeping on. And whatever you do in life, continue to put God first, God is a healer. God is a deliverer. God is able. He is able to do everything. Sister says she want 100 years. Well, I believe God can give you 100 and plus years. God will give you, he will definitely mm-hmm. give you the desires of your heart. So I just wanted to say that to you all. God bless you. And keep your heads up. Keep your minds right. And continue to pray. Continue to pray. Never stop praying. God bless you all today.
Well, thank you all so much. Thank you for that. Thank you so much. We are going to conclude our episode today. The timer is ticking. We're running out of time. But we've had a very interesting subject matter today. I think that we covered a lot of bases. Hopefully our words today will help someone. And again, if anyone is feeling suicidal and you need someone to talk to, you can dial 988. Speak to someone who can help you. If you don't want to talk, you can text the word HELP to 741-741. Again, you can text the word HELP to 741-741. And again, this is the Michael Van Tool Show. My name is LaToya Bond. I'm a mental health advocate and suicide preventionist. I've been here today filling in for Michael. He's away on assignment, but we will be back here next week with another episode of the Michael Van Tool Show. Thank you all so much for being here today. Have a great week, everyone.
Have a great week, LaToya. Thank you so much. Wonderful
Have
job.
An amazing week.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy
Bless
your Wednesday.
You.
You've been listening to the Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening.
Everything is gonna be alright. Hold your head up high. Look up to the sky.
Yeah, they hope.